I would like to introduce our opening speaker. This man has been an intricate part of my recovery. Please welcome Al.
I know you.
Yeah. Hey. My name's Al. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Al.
And I'd like to thank Armando for inviting me up here, so I missed the second half of the football game. He'd be his warm-up speaker. what are you talking? How many minutes do you get? 10, 15, what?
10.
10? Okay.
No,
15. I'm not taking 20. So, but welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to those that are fairly new and the visitors. And, I mean, there ain't much you could talk about in that short of time, but I got here by I was a baseball player. I played on a professional level. I blew it from alcohol. I played cops and robbers. I played drug dealer. I played I played all those games, man. I played alcoholic, and this is where I ended up. I've been doing this since August 24th of 93, and continuously. And I think what keeps me here is sponsoring people. Every time you newcomers walk in the door, you give me hope. Every time I get to sit down and work with one like you and Raul, it makes me stronger. It makes me look at myself. When I get visitors, this lady, you got a place in here. And she came up and I spoke here a couple years ago, and she came up and talked to me afterwards, and she was struggling. And I see you in here tonight, and I know you're just visiting because you don't live here anymore. And it's a blessing. I don't think things happen by accidents, and you're a blessing. So it's really good to see you. But, what keeps me here, man, is all the things I mentioned and service work. I'm involved with the conference again. I'm involved with other things. I'm secretary to meeting here, the Sunday speaker meeting. And I've been here for a little over 3 years now. And, I know the things I have to do to stay sober. I've had book studies. We're doing a book study right now, and those are the things that keep me here. I met this gentleman on Zoom when I first moved down here because COVID had hit, and I started for the first time in my life to get depression when COVID hit, and I didn't think about drinking. I just jumped into the solution, and so I started going on meetings, but the meetings were back in the valley where I moved here from. And I still wasn't getting to know anybody here. It was kind of lonely, man. We moved here. My wife was working from home. We had each other. Now, the good thing that happened through that is me and my wife, our relationship got stronger. And so one day I decided, I have to get out of this funk. I told her, I said, I think I'm depressed. And I said, I have to get out of this funk, because I was used to going and seeing you guys at meetings and getting hugs. And when I first walked in here, guys came up and they wanted to hug me. And I told them, do not hug me. I said, you can shake my hand, but do not attempt to hug me. I'll knock your ass out. They didn't. And it took me over a year to start hugging people, and now everywhere I go, I want to hug people. You owe me a hug before you leave. And I want to, I see everybody, I want to hug everybody. I go up, I see these guys that I see at meetings all the time, and they, I greeted them right away. And then this guy's in here, and this guy, when I finally went on Zoom, He shot his phone number to me, it's on the screen there, and then he invited me to a meeting at the time that they were having outdoors. And I went to the meeting with him, man. And that's what started to connect me with people here. And I think that's how this program works, you know. You know, you have to network, man. You know, if you're going to be in here, you have to network if you want this thing to work. If you want to get out of yourself, network. If you want to get out of yourself, sponsor people. Be in service, you know. You know, even, you know, if it's just volunteering to do something, to clean it up after the meeting, you know. Picking up cigarette butts, man, outside. I had a sponsor in Clovis that he was legally blind, man. And that guy had a lot more time than I do. And he would go out in the parking lot every time he came to the meeting, man, and he was picking up cigarette butts, and putting them in a can. You know, that guy was in service. You know. He was a circuit speaker. He was all over. You know, and when he spoke locally, I used to give him rides to some of his speaking engagements. You know, and the guy was no joke. He's just what I needed. You know, he kept a foot in my ass all the time. You know, and I needed that. I needed that. You know, the old saying, you can't con a con. Well, he can con him. You know, and then he was actually my grand sponsor, and then my sponsor died, and he became my sponsor. You know, but through all of that, they kept me in service. You know, I mean, I did everything you could possibly do for AA up there. You know, I hold every position you could. You know, and then after I did certain things for over 20 years, you know, he finally told me, he says, you know what, he says, continue with your path. He says, but all the service you're doing, you need to let others do it now. Try to find people to do it, you know. And there's a lot of people that don't want to do service, which blows my mind. Because that, you know, for me, that's what kept me here all this time. You know, it became a part of my life, and now I have to do it. Just like meetings have become a part of my life. You know, when I walked into the rooms, I thought, oh, God, how long do I have to be here? You know, and I was fighting a court case. I had to be there, you know. I was fighting another court case. And I remember, man, I figured I was being tested by two different probation officers, and I had to be tested for 5 years. And back then they used to, you know, drive up to your house, the probation with an officer assisting them. And I remember thinking, man, this is over. I am never going back to AA. You know, I will never attend those meetings again. You know, these people have nothing I want, you know. And I found out, because I had to stay there. I had to stay there or go to jail. And I found out, you know what? This place ain't so bad after all. But, you know, I had to surrender first, man. You know, I had to actually start working steps, which took me a long time to do. I'm not going to BS anybody here. It took me a long time to start working steps. It took me a long time, you know, to surrender. And I'm in Stag up there, and one day I just told him, I said, I can't do this by myself anymore, you know. And guys started, you know, calling me, and I had a small business, and they would come by, you know, and see me, and I mean, every day, man, they were calling me, coming by and seeing me, and I thought, oh, I screwed up, man. You know, I still wanted things my way. You know, I didn't want them to like me that much. You know, I just wanted them there at my convenience, and I had to learn that, you know. I had to learn to be selfless instead of selfish, you know. I had to learn how to be a dad. I was a single father, you know, for two boys. I had to learn that, you know. And my grand sponsor was a single parent, too, you know. So he kind of walked me through that, you know. And then when my sponsor, when he didn't know the answer, man, he wasn't, you know, his ego didn't pop up and he had to have the answer. He would tell me, you know what, if I don't know the answer, he said, I can send you to somebody that does know the answer. He said, or I'll find out the answer. You know, and when guys did stuff like that, man, it stuck out to me, you know. You know, they didn't know it all. You know, they didn't pretend to know it all. You know, and it reminded me of my double life. Is my time almost up?
No.
Oh, it reminded me of him. Damn it. Is halftime over? Oh, it's you know, it reminded me of my double life when things like that happened. You know, because I remember I'd go around family. You know, and now that I look back on it, I have a grandson that was getting loaded for a while, and he didn't think we knew, and I had to take him to the side and tell him I knew, and he tried to deny it. I had to jam him up. You know, and he's been straight for a few weeks now. But we'll see. You know, we know the nature of the beast. You know, but I would do that. You know, I see myself. I knew what he was doing. You know, and I would go around family, you know, and play those two roles. Now, around family, you know, I've tried to be the good son, and, you know, and the good nephew, and the good grandson, and all that. And but then when I left there, I was back out on the streets. You know, and it was ugly out there. You know, but that's where I got all the attention. You know, I needed the attention, man. You know, I had failed at baseball because of my drinking. I got hit by a car because I was so drunk I walked in front of a car. And I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't settle for less. You know? And you guys in this room taught me, you know, that less is more. You know, I found out what that meant. And it started with the big book. You know, it started with step one. Step one, you know. And I still pass this on to my guys that I sponsor. You know, I was powerless over alcohol and drugs, you know. And it made my life unmanageable, you know. And I had to write down how it made my life unmanageable. That was easy, you know. And, I mean, I was fighting a court case. You know, it was real easy. You know, but how I was powerless over it was a little harder because this thing up here told me, you know, that I wasn't that bad. You know, I wasn't that bad. And I really thought I had a drug problem when I came into AA. I didn't think I had an alcohol problem. You know, but through good sponsorship, you know, I found out different, man. You know, and then you know, and so I send my guys through that first, you know, over alcohol. I said, just do it over alcohol, you know, alcohol and drugs, whatever. You know, your powerlessness and unmanageability. And then after you do that, we'll go people, places, things, and situations. And man, that's what opened my eyes. People, places, things, and situations. You know, I'm powerless what you think of me, you know. I'm powerless, you know, over, you know, anything that's said about me. You know, I just had to learn all that, man. And that was hard. That was hard. Because if I heard, you know, that you said something negative about me, I was going to confront you. You know, and then when my sponsor says, hey, Al, we don't live that way anymore. You know? Because early sobriety, my first year of sobriety, a couple of guys got into it in a meeting. And I'm not just saying arguing. I grabbed a guy by his neck, you know, and threw him up against the wall. And they taught me, hey, you know, you don't have to live that way anymore. You know, now you need to make an amends to that guy. You know, I'm not making amends to him. You know, F that, you know. I don't need this program. You know, my sponsor said, okay, well, have at it. We'll see you when you get back. You know, and I stuck around, man, and I made those amends. You know, and I found out, man, when you, once you make a couple of amends, it gets easier. You know, that pride starts to slip away a little bit, and that ego, you know, and that chest doesn't poke out as much, and you start to look at more things, you know, and they say it's an inside job, you know, and I didn't like what I seen on the inside. I used to, you know, before I came here, man, I was the guy that used to look in the mirror, man, you know, getting ready to go to the bar, you know, looking at myself, you know, and then I'd really look at myself and think, man, when are you going to stop doing this crap? Because I could see how loaded I was. You know, and it was, I'm going to stop next week. You know, or I'll stop, you know, at the end of this month. You know, it's almost New Year's, after New Year's. You know, just things like that, man. You know, and I had those two boys. You know, and I had those two boys. And I told somebody the other day, I says, you know, it really got bad the last 8 months. You know, because I always had, you know, somebody with the boys or somebody there with them while I was out and stuff. You know, and I'm ashamed to say this, but towards the end, especially the last 3 months, I started not coming home. I'd go out on the weekends and I wouldn't come home. home. And there's a 12-year difference between my two boys. And I would call the oldest one, man, make sure he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. If he didn't do one thing on the checklist, I'd start chewing him out. I'm the one that should have been getting chewed out. And you guys taught me. You guys taught me how to be a dad. You taught me how to respect myself. You taught me how to respect you. And how to be a better citizen. And that's what I aim for today. You know, I got a God of my understanding. That was the biggest relationship I made. Am I done?
28 seconds.
28 seconds. All right. but I got a God of my understanding. I surrendered, I think, to everyone and everything. I surrendered to stuff that's none of my business. I hate it when you guys say that. Oh, that's none of your business. I'll make it my business. That's none of your business. So, anyways, but things like that, the humbling process was hard. The humbling process was very hard. I kept two little vases for 6 months. They were about this tall. There was these old European vases in there. They were collectibles. And they were full of cocaine, each one. And I hung on to those for 6 months until one day I surrendered. And I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. But in the back of my mind for 6 months, I said, well, I'll get rid of it, but I'll sell it. And my sponsor knew. And he said, no, you do what you want. So I went home, flushed it down the toilet, said, I'm done. I love this program, man. I love everything about this program. I've had my ups and downs, more ups than downs, but I can't say enough about this program. So thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Al. Let's give him one more applause. One more. He's a great guy.